If you have your Bibles this morning, would you turn with me to the book of John? John chapter 6. And we want to begin reading at verse 16. John chapter 6, verse 16. Would you please stand with me for the reading of God's Word? And I dare say, as you're turning there, every time I say this, I condemn us to an hour and a half of preaching. I'm going to try and not be long this morning because I feel the Holy Spirit wants to do some special things around this altar this morning. And I'll be brief this morning, probably in the Word, but prepare your heart. God wants to touch some people this morning. He wants to help you. Hallelujah. John chapter 6, beginning at verse 16. And when even was now come, his disciples went down unto the sea, and entered into a ship, and went over the sea toward Capernaum. And it was now dark, and Jesus was not come to them. And the sea arose by reason of a great wind that blew. So when they had rowed about 25 or 30 furlongs, they see Jesus walking on the sea, and drawing nigh to the ship, and they were afraid. But he saith unto them, It is I, be not afraid. They willingly received him into the ship, and immediately the ship was at land whither they went. And I want to preach for a few moments this morning on a subject taken from verse 20. It is I, be not afraid. Could we go to the Lord in prayer? Heavenly Father, I thank you so much this morning for the presence of your Holy Spirit. And Lord, the supernatural things that I believe you're going to do today, Lord, we give you all the praise and glory for. Heavenly Father, just let everything else fade to the background, but let us see Jesus today. Open our spiritual eyes to see Jesus, to see him in the midst of our storm, and to know he's saying the same thing to us today that he said to the disciples so many thousands of years ago. It is I, be not afraid. Hallelujah. It is I, be not afraid. Heavenly Father, anoint me to preach your word today. Give me the mind of Christ today. Heavenly Father, give me the anointing of the Holy Spirit. I am totally incapable, Lord, except you empower and anoint me today to be a blessing to your people and to, through the anointing of your Spirit, to make your word come alive and penetrate our hearts. And Lord, we'll give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory for whatever you do this day. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. This morning, all over the world, there's turmoil. The winds of Armageddon are blowing. And God is aligning the nations for the last of the last days' prophecies to be fulfilled. Egypt now has a Muslim leader, and you know the unrest that's been in the headlines that has transpired this week there. And in biblical prophecy, that had to be, because although Egypt has always been an enemy of Israel, there had to be a change in leadership and a change in the complexion of the political and spiritual landscape of Egypt for Egypt to play her part in last day's events. And that has now transpired as they have a Muslim leader who is leading them into the hatred of Islam. Also, we've seen this week in Libya, where our embassy has once again been attacked and people, Americans, have lost their lives, and our so-called president apologizes to them for offending the demonized pedophile by the name of Mohammed. And then we see, even in the Christian world, this week, Pat Robertson claims that God has shown him who the next president is going to be. Now, I don't want to be overly critical here, but can we inject some spiritual common sense into something? You got one of two people, okay? Boy, that's a real prophet, ain't it? You got a 50-50 shot at it. And then he goes on and says, but he can't tell anybody. He must keep everyone else in the dark. Now, that's just foolishness. Can I tell you that? That's pure foolishness. If he knew, and God knows, why not warn the believers? That's what every prophet of God has ever done. God gave them a message, and they went and warned the people about what was to come. God didn't withhold it from them. But you know the reason that's being done? Pride and ego. That way, after the election is over, you can claim, well, I knew it was going to be this one. That shows you the state of the world today and much of the church. There's very little soundness in the body of Christ right now. There's very little soundness of doctrine. And the complexion of the world is changing on the dark side, just like what should be the source of light, the Christian church, is bending to follow after the world rather than to follow after Jesus Christ. So there is a darkness over this planet this morning. I'm not claiming to be a prophet this morning, but I'm going to give you something this morning about the next election, who the next president's going to be. It's going to be bad either way it goes. Can I tell you that? It ain't going to be good either way. Because America is still not changing her heart. America as a whole is still shaking her fist in the face of God. Oh, Lord, I feel... Help me, Lord, not to get myself in too much trouble right out of the start of this message. But we've got a choice between the demon doctrines of Islam and the demon doctrines of Mormonism. Now, I want you to think about that, church. Don't put your faith in either one of these men to change nothing in this nation, because they don't have the power to do it. They don't have the intelligence to do it. And they're just wanting power, both of them. That's all they care about. They just want power. They don't really care that much about anything but power. And that's what this election's all about. Because had they the right kind of insight, they would be identifying the real problem of this nation. And that is, it needs to turn back to Jesus Christ with its whole heart. So we're living in a very, very dark time this morning as believers in Jesus Christ. And it's going to get darker before it gets any better. As we read the text this morning from John 6, beginning at verse 16, just prior to this, the Lord Jesus has performed a miracle in feeding 5,000 people with a few loaves of bread and a few fish. And at the conclusion of this great miracle, the crowd, the Bible tells us, wanted to make him king. They wanted to hoist him into political prominence in the nation of Israel. And although he was the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, at this time he knew that was not his position on earth to accept that. And so he quietly dismisses himself from the crowd, leaving the disciples behind. And I thought, that is so like the fickleness of mankind, to follow Jesus when he's doing something for you, when he's doing something you want him to do, when he's giving you something that personally enhances the quality of your life. Anybody can follow Jesus then. And that's what this crowd did. They were so impressed with him feeding them with the loaves and fishes. They thought, make this man king, because he met an immediate need that they had and wanted. It's one thing to follow Jesus for what he can do. It's another thing altogether to follow Jesus for who he is. The Son of God, who gave his life on Calvary because he loved us enough to bear our cross, to wear our crown, to shed his blood so that our sins might be washed away. Praise God. Praise God. But at this time, he will one day accept the kingship of Israel. And he was very much the king at this point in time, but he knew it was not time for that to be manifest yet. So he leaves the crowd and leaves the disciples there with the crowd after performing this great miracle. The Bible tells us he went away to a mountain to pray and to seek the Lord. And while he's away seeking the Lord, the Bible tells us that evening comes. And the disciples decide it's time for them to go back to Capernaum. They don't know where Jesus is, but they made the decision to go back to Capernaum. Capernaum was the so-called headquarters of the Lord when he was on earth. It's where he spent most of his time. And I believe the disciples, knowing that he had not obviously returned yet, they decided, let's go to Capernaum. He may be there. They were really launching out to seek after Jesus. And there's a lesson in that for you and for all of us this morning. When we launch out to really follow Jesus for who he is, more oftentimes than not, it's not going to be the cushy, blessed experience in the natural realm that we're told it's going to be. Spiritually, hear what I'm saying now, spiritually, there will always be joy unspeakable and full of glory in the human spirit that really follows after Jesus. But in the natural realm, not always so. Jesus said that if they've hated me, if they've called me a winebibber and a devil, what do you think they're going to do to you if you come in my name? So as the disciples go seeking after Jesus, they launch out into the Sea of Galilee, which if you study the topography of Israel, the Sea of Galilee sets in a valley between mountains. And even on a bright, sunny day like today, violent storms due to the topography of the land can roll in almost instantaneously without any warning, just virtually within minutes. The entirety of the weather system can change on the Sea of Galilee. And as they launched out that evening, more than likely it was a beautiful evening. And all they had on their mind was, let's go to Capernaum and see if we can find Jesus. But after they've traveled a distance on the water, without warning, one of these violent storms rolls in. And they're tossed all about on the waves. And these storms that can occur on Galilee, the lightning is unlike anything I'm told you've ever seen before, and the thunder can literally be felt in the body when one of these storms rolls in. And the sea becomes so violent that many ships wreck if they're out on Galilee when one of these storms hit, because the water becomes so stirred and the ships just sway from side to side and often are capsized due to the violent waves that come up. And this is the kind of storm that the disciples found themselves in. And they thought, when they saw all of this turmoil around them, they thought, we're going to perish. We don't have any hope. But they had forgotten that the Lord of glory had a mission for them. And when the Lord's got his hand on your life, hear what I'm saying. There is nothing that can happen to you that he does not allow. He's got his hand on your every step, even when you don't know it. He is leading and guiding you, and he is with you. Oh, I feel that this morning. Don't ever forget that. Even in the darkest of times, the bleakest of situations, the toughest tribulation, if your faith is in Jesus Christ and what he did for you on the cross, he's there. He's there. He's there. And he knows exactly what you're feeling. He knows exactly what we're going through. He knows the hurt. He senses the anguish. He understands the worry. And he even sees the faithlessness in us as we're thinking, Lord, we're going to perish. Lord, I can't take this. Lord, I can't go through this. Don't ever forget he's there. He's there. The Holy Ghost simply wants that known this morning. He's there, church. He's there with you this morning. He is the one who is guiding your steps. And as the storm is raging, they try to row the boat. Let me stop here and preach a minute. How many times in the midst of my storms have I tried to row the boat? That's not altogether bad to, that old saying, God helps those who help themselves. That's about the dumbest saying I've ever heard before in my life. You know why? We can't help ourselves. We can't help ourselves. That's the problem. If we can do it, we don't need him. Amen? And without fail, it's our human nature, and the Lord understands this. We want to try to fix it, don't we? Even though it's overwhelming. And these disciples, now bear in mind, we're fishermen. These guys know this sea like the back of their hand. They work it every day of their lives. Most of them, anyway, were fishermen. Had a few tax collectors in there, but by and large, they were fishermen. They knew the weather systems. They knew how things operated out on the sea. And yet, when they see this violent storm coming, what's the first thing they do? And they know it's a useless effort. They start trying to row the boat. Now, I don't know much about rowing a boat. I was only out on Buckeye Lake one time when the motor quit on this one boat I was on, and we had to row it in about 3 miles. And it was a beautiful day. And I tell you what, I was about ready to drop when we got to shore. It wasn't a bit of fun on a pretty day, on a nice, calm lake. But I couldn't imagine what it would be like to try and row a boat in the middle of a tempest-like storm. And these guys are giving it all they got. Know this. When you're struggling, sometimes if we're not careful, we can become so enamored with our struggle that we forget to look for Him. But I want you to see this now, in this morning. Thank God that Jesus looks upon us with eyes of grace and mercy. Thank God He looks at our very imperfect faith and says, I'll help you anyway. Because none of us have a perfect faith. I love so much Dottie Rambo's song. I mean, it was one of those songs right out of heaven. I sing it all the time. He looked beyond my fault and saw my need. You know, we've got a very imperfect faith, all of us. The disciples that day had a very imperfect faith. In the midst of something they thought was going to totally destroy them. But in the midst of it all, Jesus knew what He needed, and He knows what we need this morning. We need to see Him. Because if you can see Him, anything's tolerable. If you can see Him and know He's with you, and He confirms His presence to you, we can make it through anything, can't we? Because of His presence. And in the middle of this very imperfect faith the disciples had, with them exhausting all of their effort. And I know we preach the cross in this church. We teach, oh, it's not human effort. Oh, we must put our faith in the cross. And that's exactly true. But how often do I find myself still trying to perform and please Him through human effort? Now, I'm giving you insight into Greg Browning this morning. Why? I've got an imperfect faith. I need the help of the Holy Ghost every day of my life. I need Him to renew my mind every day of my life. Because, as Brother Lauren Larson says, and it's so true, the default position of the human spirit is works. In other words, to use some computer language on you, Chris probably understands what I'm saying. I hope everybody else does. The default position of the human soul is works and performance. Which means if our faith is not in Jesus, and we're resting and trusting in Him, we default back to human performance. And the disciples knew that the Lord had told them they had a mission to fulfill, and that He was going to be with them. And that tells us, first of all, in following Jesus, it ain't always going to be comfortable. That's why you can't quit and run the first time trouble comes if you're following the Lord, because you're going to have a lot of it even following Him. We are not exempt from the troubles and tribulations of this life. There's coming a day, praise God, when we're going to have a glorified body, when we're going to live eternally with Jesus Christ, and we won't have no more trouble, no more fear, no more pain. That's coming. But it's not promised in this life. And so if you're following Jesus for the loaves and fishes, and you want Him to be king of your life because of what you think He can do for you, or maybe what He has done for you, in a natural sense I'm speaking, you're not going to follow Him very long. You're not going to follow Him very long. I used this very passage just prior to the passage that we read in the text this morning. One time got myself in all kind of trouble at one of those vaunted Church of God state ministers meetings where they were telling us how to do everything right. You know, this is the way to do it. This is how to make your church grow. How to get more people in your church. You know? And me being the curmudgeon that I was, I asked him, I said, is that our goal? Is that our goal, church growth? I said, because if pure church growth is our goal, then we don't want Jesus. Because Jesus was one of the worst church breakers up in history. You say, oh, Pastor, how do you say that about Jesus? Well, hang with me. This 5,000 he fed, well, he did it twice. This was another time when he fed 5,000. At the conclusion of that, listen to this. Peter comes to him and says, well, I'm getting ahead of the story. First, he fed the 5,000. And then Jesus made a statement to the crowd of 5,000 who were singing his praises then. Oh, thank you, Jesus. You fed us. Oh, praise you, Jesus. Thank you for what you've done. He said, you're going to have to follow me and you're going to have to die. You're going to have to die like me. They didn't understand what he was saying. He said, I'm going to the cross. And every Jewish person knew what that cross meant. He said, I'm going to the cross. You're going to have to follow me to the cross if you truly want to be my disciple. A church of 5,000 went down to 12 overnight. Now, 5,000 people left him. All that was left was the 12 disciples. And he turned to Peter and asked Peter, Lord, or he asked Peter, Jesus asked Peter, he said, Peter, you guys going to go too? Peter and those disciples were following him for the right reasons, because of who he was. He said, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And I said, we don't want Jesus speaking at a church growth seminar. Because Jesus is all about leading people to him, to follow him to the cross. And at the cross, we die. And you say, I know some people might be wondering, well, how does that happen now? It happens spiritually, according to Romans 6, that when our faith is placed in Jesus Christ and we trust in him for our salvation, God crucifies in his mind our old man predicated upon our faith. We go to the cross. We go to the cross. And that old us gets crucified with Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God made a beautiful system to where we didn't have to suffer. We didn't have to bear the nails. He did it for us. But it goes on. Paul said in Romans 6, if we are crucified with Christ, then God will also count us as having died in Christ. But the third and glorious step is God counts us as being resurrected in Jesus Christ into new life in him. Hallelujah. So the disciples, in their lack of faith and their consternation, at their darkest hour, the Bible says this was in the fourth watch of the night. That's the darkest time of the night. And exhausting all the human effort they can to extricate themselves from their situation. Finally, we're not told who. And this story is told also in Matthew 14:28 in a little bit more detail. But I got to believe in my heart it was Peter. Because in Matthew 14:28, the Bible clearly says there that Peter identified him and said, it's the Lord. It's the Lord. And at first they were fearful. They were afraid of what they saw because they were afraid it might have been a spirit or a ghost, they thought. But here's what I want you to see. Now the storm is still raging. The waves are still about to capsize the boat. The lightning is flashing and the thunder is roaring and the rain is in a torrential downpour. But then all of a sudden, when Jesus perceives that they're looking to him, he speaks the most comforting words that could ever be spoken. It is I. Be not afraid. Now he doesn't immediately calm the storm. He's just letting them know, I'm with you. It's me. Whatever you're going through this morning, the Holy Spirit wants you to know he's there. And he wants you to turn your eyes off of the storm. He wants you to cease from human effort and trying to scramble your brain to try and figure out how to fix it. And know that he is there. Know that he's saying, it's me. I love how he said it. It is I. It is I. Be not afraid. I'm the one you guys just saw take a few fishes and a few loaves and feed 5,000 people with. I'm the one you've seen raise the dead. It is I. Be not afraid. Hallelujah. And the Bible says they saw him walking on the water. Now, a lot of folks like to jump on poor old Peter and say, well, he didn't have much faith. I beg to differ with you. Peter cried out, if you read the same story in Matthew 14, 28, and he said, Lord, if it's you, bid me come to you. Hallelujah. And the Lord said, come. And Peter stepped out of that boat, and he was like walking on cement for a few steps. Now, man, that's a lot of faith. Anybody ever walked on water? I ain't going to condemn nobody who's walked on water, even for one step. That's a lot of faith. That's a lot of faith. But Peter made the mistake that most of us make. If he'd have just kept looking at the Lord and kept his eyes and his faith fixated on the one who was the Lord of the storm, he'd have walked out there to Jesus, and Jesus would have walked back to the boat with him. But watch this now. We've got that imperfect faith, don't we? All of us. Peter was so astonished by the power and the anointing that was on him. It was just such a wonderful thing that he couldn't hardly believe it. And it dawned on him, I am defying all laws of physics. I am defying all laws of gravity here. I'm on the water. Now, I've got to believe, the sin nature being what it is, Peter was like a lot of us. Ooh-wee, I must have faith. Ooh, they're back there in the boat. I'm walking on the water. And Peter turned his focus on him first. And then what happened? The Bible says Peter looked and saw the wind and the waves and the rain, and he started to sink. Praise God. How many times have I done that? I thought, woo, God's moving. I became aware that in the midst of my difficulty and trial that God was moving. He made it obvious, and he was letting me know, I'm with you. And all of a sudden, I started celebrating my faith and victory. Now, don't look at me like a bunch of doe-eyed calves, like, oh, Pastor, well, that's awful arrogant of you. Yes, it was. But how many times has it happened to all of us? Amen. Amen? How many times has it happened to all of us? But watch this. I've got to shout his grace and mercy this morning. I've got to shout his love for us this morning. Because you know what happens? He don't chide Peter. Peter started to sink. Now, Peter was out of the boat. Now, he's in the water, and he says, Lord, save me, lest I perish. Now, well, you're not told this in the text, but it had to be. The Lord walked over to him, pulled him up out of that water, and walked with him back to the boat on the water, holding his hand. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. You're not going down this morning. If you'll keep looking to him. I don't care how strong the waves of your life. I don't care how tumultuous the situation. If Jesus is there, you're going to make it. And his message to all of us this morning, give him a hand of praise. In this dark day in which we're living, if you keep your eyes of faith focused on Jesus Christ and what he did at the cross for all of us, you're going to make it. You're not going to sink. Brighter days are coming. There's a calm sea ahead. There's a bright sun shining ahead if you'll keep your faith in him. And even if your faith has wavered for a moment and you felt like, oh no, I'm going to drown, he still ain't going to leave you there. He walked over to Peter and picked him up. And he doesn't chide Peter. At least we're not told so by the Holy Spirit in Scripture. He just gently and lovingly, I can just see Jesus, his character. He just gently and lovingly walks over to old Peter, looks down at him. Come on, Pete. I love you anyway. Walks him back to the boat. Hallelujah. Now watch this now. They get back on the boat, and then John records it this way. The sea grew calm, and the Bible says immediately they were where they wanted to be. Now, you know, there was one time in my life I got a ride on one of those speed boats that have like the Saturn V rocket engine on the back of them. One time I got a ride one, and man, it was fun, but it was scary because those things fly. I mean, they can cover about a mile in just a few seconds' time. And I even had to tell the guy, so slow it down, you're scaring me. He was laughing at me. But even as fast as one of those would go, it couldn't compare to the power of Jesus this day on the Sea of Galilee. Because the Bible says immediately they were where they should be going. Jesus immediately took them there. Hallelujah. And they were right where they should be. And they didn't perish. Praise God. His message this morning to us is simply those words from John, verse 20. It is I. Be not afraid. Look at him this morning with your spiritual eyes. You may think everything may be crumbling around you. But Jesus has promised to always be with you. And never leave you. And never forsake you. He won't. He won't. He won't. He's there. He's there. And he's saying, it is I. Be not afraid. He's saying, look to me. Look to me, the author and finisher of your faith. I'm not going to fail you. You know, as a child of God, and I'm closing now, we cannot lose. There's no way. If it be God's will, and whatever you're going through, it might even be a sickness, some disease, and the Lord chooses in the here and now not to heal you of that disease, and you pass from this life, let me tell you something. The very next conscious thought, you'll be as alive as you ever were with Jesus Christ. I'll never forget Kathy Fish. She was a nurse at Mount Vernon Hospital when I pastored in Mount Vernon. Had one of the most dramatic conversions of anybody I've ever seen. I remember the day the Lord gloriously baptized her in the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking of other tongues. I was on the phone with her and she just received a glorious infilling of the Holy Spirit. But sometime after that, Kathy, who was at that time only 47 years old, contracted a rare form of bone cancer. And this dear sister had more faith in Jesus than possibly anybody I've ever met before in my life. I mean, she to go visit her in the hospital was to walk into the presence of Jesus Christ in that hospital room. I like to go see her. If I was down, I'd say, I'm going to drive over and visit Kathy. Because she had such a faith that when you walked into her hospital room, though her body was being emaciated by cancer, you felt the power of God in there. Because she knew she couldn't lose. And she'd tell you that. She believed God to her last breath in this life to heal her of that cancer. And the Lord in this life did not do it. But one of the last coherent things Kathy told me, and I've never forgotten it, she said, Pastor, she was trying to comfort me because it was breaking my heart to see her go in such a painful, horrific way. Somebody who had so much faith in Jesus. And I was believing with her right to her last breath for the Lord to heal her. But this was the day before she lost consciousness. I was in the room. And let's just be real for a minute, okay? I wish, let me be careful how I say this. I don't want to ruin anyone's faith. There's nobody who believes in divine healing more than the man you're looking at. I've seen God do it dramatically, heal people, miraculously heal people too many times. Yeah, absolutely he did me. But he doesn't do it all the time that way. You know, I don't care what word of faith teachers tell you. You know, God simply is in his will. And we don't know. We should pray and believe for anybody who's sick. I want to be careful not to destroy anybody's faith. And we believe for that person right till the time the Lord calls them home to glory. But simply in every situation, the Lord is not going to heal everybody. Not everybody got healed when Jesus walked the earth. You know, I'm preaching reality now. It may not cause pew shouting and aisle jumping or jumping pews and running aisles, but it's truth. It's truth. Not everybody got healed when Jesus walked the earth. He did heal quite a number of people who crossed his path because it was the divine will of God and God's sovereign plan to do so. But sometimes, let's be honest, it's not in God's will. And before Kathy slipped off into unconsciousness the day before, I was in that hospital room with her, and she told me, she said, Pastor, she reached out and grabbed my hand.
And she says, don't worry about me, because she perceived the worry I had for her, because I loved Kathy. She was a great woman of God. And she took me by the hand and just patted it so weakly and lovingly. She says, don't you worry about me. She said, you know where I'm going. And she said, I'm still believing God to heal me. But she said, Pastor, I've already been healed. Hallelujah. That's faith. That is faith, church. She said, I've already been healed. Whatever he decides to do, Pastor, I'm healed. Oh, my Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Give us more people with faith like that. Give us more people, God, with faith like that. And the next day, she slipped off into unconsciousness. And I believe, if I remember, it was 2 days later, she went on to be with the Lord. And I didn't get to preach her funeral because I was in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, at camp meeting when we got the word she passed away, and I couldn't get back in time to preach her funeral. But Kathy made an indelible impression on my soul with what real faith was. So again, whatever you're going through, even if it is some sickness that can take your physical life, if your eyes are on Jesus, you're going to be healed. You're going to be healed. Hallelujah. You're going to be healed. Your body will be made whole if your faith is in Him. Glory to God. And I believe He's saying to all of us this morning, the Holy Spirit is. He keeps ringing it through my soul to put it out. Jesus is saying to all of us in the midst of our storms, whatever they are, it is I. Be not afraid. It is I. Be not afraid. He is with you. He's with you. He's in control of the storm. He's in control of every cell of your body if your faith is in Him. And just because you're in a storm does not mean that the Lord is angry at you. Get that out of your mind. If God was angry, if God remained angry at us, after we come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, if God's wrath were still against us, then the cross is of no effect. The cross satisfied His anger against us. Know this, you're His child. Now, yes, He will discipline us. I'm not saying that. But as far as Him being angry, saying, I'm going to throw something down on them because I'm mad at them. You're a child of God. You're in His grace. You're in His mercy. He's not going to do that to you just to be mean to you, just to show you He's God. He don't need to do that. But He came in the darkest hour and revealed Himself to a bunch of guys who had very little faith. I love what the Bible says in Hebrews 13:9. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. The same Jesus who came this night in this terrible storm to the disciples is the same Jesus who's speaking to your spirit this morning saying, it is I, be not afraid. He's got the answer to it. He's got the solution to it. And you may have been trying to row in the midst of the storm and not getting nowhere. But when Jesus revealed Himself and everybody turned their eyes on Him and knew that He says, it's going to be all right, I may not be able to explain it, but somehow, some way, it's going to be all right because He's going to make it all right. Because He's Lord of everything. He's Lord of the sea. He's Lord of the wind. He's Lord of cancer. He's Lord of financial problems. He's Lord of employment problems. He's Lord of every situation. Hallelujah. And He will not fail you if you'll keep your eyes on Him. By faith, if you'll look unto Him. He's saying, it's I. He's given a revelation right now. That's what I'm saying to everybody in this church. It's I. Be not afraid. Be not afraid. And you may have been in the storm. Maybe it's raged for longer than you thought it should. And you thought, I'm not getting nowhere. Nothing's getting done. Nothing's moving. I'm crying out to Jesus. I'm trying to believe in Him. I've ceased from my works, and it don't seem like I'm going nowhere. He's saying, it's I, be not afraid. Because watch this now. Watch this. The second Jesus got in the boat with them, that storm calmed, and instantly they were where they should be. Do not limit the Lord on achieving His mighty work in your life and in my life, in all of our lives. Because no matter how long and how dark the situation has been, when He gets ready, He brings it to a conclusion, and He works a miracle. He'll do that for you. Hallelujah. Believe Him this morning. Believe Him. You say, but you don't understand, Pastor. I don't have a lot of faith. I don't care. Thank God it don't take a lot of faith. If you'll just, He said, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you could say to this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea. And if you doubt it not in your heart, it'll be done. And I know that's a famous word of faith scripture, but Jesus was speaking, what's the word I'm trying to think of? He was just illustrating. No, it wasn't metaphor. He was speaking just illustratively. Hyperbolically is the word I'm looking for. It means to make a point. You so over-exaggerate something to make it clear to people. And He was saying, if you'll believe me just a little bit, that's how great my power will work for you. You could speak to a mountain if I want you to. That's the trouble. He's got to want you to speak to that mountain to see it removed first. You just can't go out there and say, look what a man or woman of faith and power I am. Mountain be removed. Mountain ain't going nowhere. Because you're wanting your own glory. And the Lord has not spoken to you for that mountain to be moved. But if He's spoken to you and said, if you'll believe me, yeah, you can move a mountain. But He said, if you have faith as a mustard seed. What He was illustrating was, if you'll just believe me the tiniest bit, I'll do exceedingly abundantly above all you could ask or think. It's I, be not afraid. It's I, be not afraid. Hallelujah. He's with you this morning. I don't know what storm you're going through. And maybe you've been in it for a while. Don't lose heart. Maybe the enemy's been telling you, you're going down. You're going down. Can I tell you something? Satan's nothing but a liar. If in the midst of your storm, he could have already capsized your boat and drowned you, he'd already done it. He'd already done it. You know why you're still afloat? You know why you're still there? Because the Lord's with you. Because the Lord's there with you. And no matter how tumultuous it becomes, if you'll just keep believing Him, if you'll just, this I can tell you with absolute certainty, if you'll just keep your spiritual eyes focused on Him, there's going to come an end to it. There'll be an end to it. I wish I could tell you, oh, you're not going to have to suffer anymore. Oh, you know, we're going to have an altar service and wave the proverbial spiritual magic wand and all rights are going to be wronged and everything's going to be made perfect. No. No. It could happen that way if He wants it to. But here's what we must know. He's with us and He'll end the storm in His time. And when He ends that storm, we'll find ourselves exactly where He wanted us to be in the first place. That's the kind of miracles He'll work if you keep believing Him. Don't fear today. He's saying through the Spirit, it is I. Be not afraid. Look unto Him today, the author and the finisher of your faith. And in the midst of the pain, in the midst of the difficulty, whatever it may be, know He's with you. And you know what? You may think, I can't take another second. I'm going to come apart. He's there. No, you can take a lot more because I'm here. And I'm going to uphold you. And in my time, I know this don't make nobody shout, but it's so true. He's saying in my time, when I'm ready, when I've worked out whatever I'm working in your life, I'll end the storm. And I will deliver you. That's what we need to know. He will fulfill His word. And we need to look at that through the eternal perspective, not just the here and now. I'm going to tell you, there are some things in our lives that we're probably not going to see fixed. I know this to be true. We're not going to see fixed until we get in a glorified body in eternity. There's going to be some things that won't be fixed until then. But the Lord is with us. And this life, He's with us. That has to be enough for us. To trust in His love, His grace, His mercy, and His character. And know, He's not going to leave me. He's not going to forsake me. And He will bring an end to the situation that I feel is going to rip me apart if I'll just look to Him. My Lord, what a God we serve. It is I. Be not afraid. Would you bow your heads? Heavenly Father, we thank you today for the truth of your word. And Lord, today I'm asking you to give us a real faith, Lord. Help us to get out of the hoop and hoopla of faith. And Lord, give us a real solid sound faith today. And a sound faith is one that says, we know you'll be true to your word. We don't always know how you will do it, but we know, first of all, you'll never leave us. Lord, we know that if we'll look to you, your presence will make any situation bearable and palatable. And lastly, Lord, we can know assuredly that you'll end our storm one day. It will happen. It will happen. Glory to God. And that, Lord, when you do it, we'll find ourselves in the most glorious of situations and positions. Because you order everything that goes on in our lives. You're Lord over everything. And that's what this message is all about today. You're Lord over all. And you are the Lord who's promised to stick with us closer than a brother. Lord, that scripture just means that in biblical times, brothers were bonded in the deepest of ways. Even slept together before they were married. And Lord, you were saying, I'm with you all the time. That was the meaning of what you were saying when you said you were a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Meaning you were closer all the time than someone who would even sleep with us at night. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for that promise. And Lord, we thank you that you look at our very, very imperfect faith. That you look at our minuscule amount of faith. And in your love and grace and mercy, you honor that faith. Lord, open our spiritual eyes today. Let us see Jesus. Let us turn our eyes off of the tempest, off of the waves, off of the wind, off of the rain, the thunder and the lightning that's going on in our lives and in this world today. And let us turn our eyes upon Jesus. Hallelujah. There's that old song that says, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and his grace. Hallelujah. I'm going to ask everyone who will now, would you stand? With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, I just want to be sure. I would feel this morning I would be remiss if I didn't give this opportunity. I want to ask you, are you right with God this morning? Are you right with God? Now, be careful how you answer that. I know some might say, well, I go to church at Christmas and Easter, or I try to be a good person. That's not being right with God. The Bible says there is none good, no, not one. The Bible says all have sinned and fallen short of God's glory. That means even the best we can perform as human beings and the best we can be still won't meet God's standard. We'll still be imperfect sinners who need a Savior. And that Savior is Jesus Christ. The greatest miracle the Lord has and ever will work is the miracle of cleansing humans from their sin and making them in right relationship with the Holy God. Only Jesus Christ can do that. That's how you're made right with God, by placing your faith and trust in what he did for you on the cross. There's where a person gets crucified in Christ. There's where an old person dies in Christ. But glory to God, in the mind of God, a new person is resurrected in Christ. A new spirit will be given to those who place their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. That's how a person is made right with God. There is no other way. Hear me on that this morning. We can't be good enough to meet God's standard as humans. We need a Savior. We needed someone who could live a perfect life for us because we couldn't do it. Jesus Christ is that person. And he did it. And that's why he took our place on the cross. That's why it was necessary for him to go to the cross and die. Because God's judgment against sin is death. He died so that man could live eternally If mankind will exclusively place faith and trust in who he was, the Son of God, and what he did, gave his life on Calvary's cross as a substitute for the sinner, accepting God's punishment and judgment that should have fallen on mankind, Jesus took it that day on the cross. And by believing in that and trusting exclusively in that, that's how a person is made right before God. So let me ask you again, have you done that? Are you right before God? Is your faith exclusively in Jesus Christ? If not, he loves you and he wants to save you this morning. He will not make you serve him. But the consequence of rejection of Jesus Christ is eternal darkness, dying eternally lost. And he doesn't want to see that happen to anybody. That's why he hung on the cross. He didn't have to. Love held him to that cross. Love for you held him to that cross. He was making a way for the sinner to be made right with God. I want to ask you, are you right with God this morning? What are you believing in to make you right before God? If it's not Jesus Christ and him crucified, you're not right before a holy God. But the Holy Spirit wants you to know this morning, he wants you to be made right with God. If you have not placed your faith and trust exclusively in Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross, and you want to this morning, you would say, Pastor, I want to be right with God. I want to be sure. Maybe you've strayed from Jesus Christ. He's calling you home this morning. Are there any at all who would say, and I promise you, I'm not going to call you down front and embarrass you. We'll keep this very personal. Are there any who would say by uplifted hand, Pastor, that's me. I need to be right with God this morning. Would you just gently slip up a hand and hold it up? Are there any at all? I need to be right with God today. My faith is not in Jesus Christ and what he did for me on the cross, but I want to be right with him. All right, then I'm going to ask everyone who would you come and present yourselves down here at the altar of the Lord? Heavenly Father, as we step out and come and approach the altar today, Lord, there's nothing special about this front area. We know that our faith is not in coming down here. Our faith, Lord, is in you alone. But Lord, we just do this as an act of faith to say, Lord, we're coming to you. We're coming to you. We're putting you in our spiritual focal point now, Lord Jesus, who you are and what you have done, knowing that you are able to do exceedingly abundantly above all you could ask or think. In the middle of the storm that we're going to go through in life, storms we're going to go through in life, we're not exempt from it. But we know the Lord of the storm. You know the Lord of the storm. And today, he's asking you, the Holy Spirit is asking us, I believe, look at me. Look at Jesus. With your spiritual eye, with your faith, turn it on Jesus. That old song that we just sang a moment ago, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of this world will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. The storm dims. The turmoil dims when the spiritual eye is turned upon Jesus Christ. Glory to God, I feel the Holy Spirit moving mightily in hearts and lives right now. Lord, that's what we want. We don't want, Lord, I thank you for times that we'll shout and the services where the Holy Spirit moves in very demonstrative waves externally and physically. But Lord, I sense a deep move of God going on right now. Lord, you're just moving mightily in spirits today. I sense you moving in my spirit, Lord, and I thank you for that. Glory to God. And he's saying, he wants this put out today. I know I've said it probably 50 times. It is I. Be not afraid. It is I. Be not afraid. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. Glory to your name, Lord Jesus. Lord, I thank you for what you're doing right now. Lord, make an indelible impression. Go deep in us today, Holy Spirit of God. And Lord, give us a sound faith. Give us a real faith, Lord, that where we don't have to know the details of how you're going to work everything out, but we stand firmly on your promise that you're with us and that you'll take us to where you want us to go. And that the conclusion of that journey, it will be glorious and it will involve deliverance from the storm. Glory to God. 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 Let him bless you right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Connie, would you come here? I want to pray for you this morning. Stretch forth, you ladies, gather around her and stretch forth your hand toward her. Lord God, in the midst of the storm, let her see Jesus right now. Let her see Jesus and know he's not going to leave her. He's not going to forsake her. Lord, I know Connie's a woman of great faith, and her faith has blessed me so many times. But Lord, today I feel she needs just a fresh touch in her soul and spirit from you to let the peace of God that passes all understanding flow over her. Do that now, Lord. Give her that now in Jesus' name. And Lord, let her see you, Lord Jesus. Let her see you. Heavenly Father, in the mighty name of Jesus today, I pray the same thing for my sister Deb in the name of Jesus. Lord, minister your grace and mercy unto her today. Minister fresh faith unto her today to know, Lord, you're with her in the storm. And when the storm ends, you'll make sure she's in a place where it's beautiful and glorious because you love her. Bless her right now, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Father, in the name of Jesus, give Paula, Lord, an assurance today that her prayers will not go unanswered. That, Lord, you have heard the cries and you are moving. Even when she can't see it, you are moving, Lord. And, Lord, she will see an expected end to her prayers. You will honor her faith in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Father, touch Linda today in the name of Jesus and minister unto her. Lord, touch Sharon today in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Lord, touch Marita today in Jesus' name and minister to her young life. Bless Heather today, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, bless her with all spiritual blessing in a new and fresh way in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Heavenly Father, move upon Dennis today in the name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. Heavenly Father, touch Mike today in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Bless Dave today, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, lay your hand upon David today, Lord. And Father, I thank you for this man who I know is going to be used mightily in your work, Lord, as even now is being used mightily. Lord, keep your hand upon him in every way. Bless Sarah, Lord Jesus. Keep your hand upon her in Jesus' name. Lord, lay your hand upon Ravana today. I pray in the name of Jesus. Let us see Jesus today, Lord. Let us see Jesus today. Everyone around this altar today. In the name of Jesus, Lord, lay your hand upon Helen and minister unto her today. Lord, touch Emerson today in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, bless Chris today in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, let us turn our eyes upon you. Lord, bless Phil today. Honor his faith in Jesus' name. Lord, lay your hand upon Val. I thank you, Lord, that the power of God is sustaining her, that the power of the risen Christ is going with her, and that, Lord, she will not be destroyed, but she will be delivered in the name of Jesus. Lord, bless Austin today in the mighty name of Jesus. In every way, lay your hand upon his life. Heavenly Father, minister unto Shannon today, I pray, in the name, in the mighty name of Jesus. Glory to God. Heavenly Father, minister unto Mom today, Lord. Let your Holy Spirit wash over her in the name of Jesus. And Lord, let her know this storm will come to an end. And it's going to be an expected glorious end, Lord Jesus. Let her see you today in Jesus' name. Lord, bless Sister Nellie today in the name of Jesus. Let the peace of God wash over her and let her know that which the enemy has tried to destroy her with, you're in control of, Lord Jesus. You're in control. Open her eyes to see you today, Lord, and know you're with her in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Father, lay your hand upon Tara today in the name of Jesus. Lord, lead and guide her life and let her eyes of faith open to look only unto you, Lord Jesus. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, bless Maritas today. Lord, honor her faith. No, Lord, I know you're going to. I have no doubt. Lord, honor her faith today. And Lord, though the storm be raging and it looks like there's no answer, the Lord of glory is saying, it is I. Be not afraid. Let her see you today, Lord Jesus. Heavenly Father, bless Phyllis in the name of Jesus today. Minister a healing grace unto her today, Lord, to know that her God will not fail her. Lord, bless Carla today in the mighty name of Jesus. Lay your hand upon her today, Lord, in a special way, and let her know her God is with her and he will not fail her. Heavenly Father, bless these beautiful young girls today in the name of Jesus. Lay your hand upon them, Father, and guide their lives, Lord, and let them know you are with them. Lord, may they ever keep their faith in you. Bless Larry today, Lord Jesus. Minister unto him today by the power of your Spirit, I pray in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray for Cindy today in the name of Jesus, that, Lord, her eyes, her spiritual eye would be open to know her God will not fail her, that though the storm be raging, you're there, Lord Jesus. Let her look unto you today, the author and the finisher of her faith, and know that you will bring a beautiful and strong expected conclusion to the storm. Lord, bless my sister today in the name of Jesus. Whatever she would have need of today, Lord, minister to her in the midst of her storm and let her know her God will not fail her in Jesus' name. Praise God. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost moving around this altar in deep ways today. Give him a hand of praise. Worship him, church. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Before we close, I feel the Holy Spirit urging me to take you back to the words that dear sister Kathy Fish spoke. One of her last waking moments, cancer having racked her body. She said, Pastor, he's already healed me. She knew she couldn't lose. She knew that the Lord, if he chose to, had the power that second to drive every cancer cell from her body, to which he would have got the glory for. She also knew that he ultimately made the choice to take her on home. She knew she was going to get a new body, one that would never wear out and never grow old. And she's as alive today as she ever was here on planet Earth. And there's no cancer there now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I've got to shout about this just as Jesus came to the disciples in their darkest and most tumultuous hour. You know what I saw in that? I didn't preach it that way today because I didn't feel the Lord lead me to. But in the darkness that's over this world, he's getting ready to come again. Hallelujah. He's not going to come walking on water this time. He's going to come out on a cloud. Glory to God. He's going to step out on a cloud. And again, somebody may think, oh, you believe in that rapture. You believe in that escapism mentality. You're absolutely right. I do. Because that's how the Bible says it. That's how the Bible says it. And if you doubt me, read Luke 21, 34 and 36. At the conclusion of speaking of the tribulation period. In Matthew 21 and in Luke 24. Jesus spoke in both those chapters in their entirety about the tribulation period. But he puts the period on it, especially in Luke 21:36, where he says, watch ye therefore and pray always that ye may be accounted worthy to escape these things and to stand before the Son of Man. Hallelujah. This world may be in storms, it may be in darkness this morning, but the Lord of glory is coming again, hallelujah. He's coming again, glory to God. Soon and very soon, church. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Man, it's been great to be with you in God's house today. I feel the Holy Spirit has just done some wonderful and blessed things deep in our spirits today. I know he has in mine. Praise God, hallelujah. Val, come dismiss us in prayer today. Val, God's given you a lot of faith, ain't he?